Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Good. We want to talk about economics, of course, and I think there's something going on in politics this week and the last couple days. And there are new managers of our lives and our fortunes and our economy. And we're wondering just exactly what's going to happen. We get a lot of questions. What are they going to do to the economy, the new Democrats? The Democrats are there. And, you know, generally speaking, people see the Democrats as endorsing one philosophy and the Republicans another. And I don't see it quite like that. I think they both endorse Keynesianism, inflationism, deficits, big war budgets, and all these things. But still, the real radicals support radical programs. You know, the green people and total medical care and control by the federal government. So there are differences, but I still stick to my belief that ultimately things come out about the same with the administration. So when the Republicans get in, they're the conservatives and they're going to spend less and balance the budget. You know, it generally doesn't happen. The Democrats come in and they're going to, in 2 days, to have the dollar totally destroyed. Well, there's an in-between there because things don't move that quickly. But I think, generally speaking, we can be certain that this new administration, the Democrats that are going in, are more progressive than libertarian, and they're a lot more progressive than the Republicans, and there's going to be no attempt, to change anything in the proper direction. Although Republicans, sometime when they're in the minority, they actually improve because they're in the opposition. I sometimes think that they come out with their worst ideas when they're in charge, when they're running up the deficits themselves. And I think the last 4 years certainly has revealed that the economy, although the Republicans and others say, yes, but it was real good until coronavirus came. But it's not that simple, because the downturn was already identified before coronavirus hit the streets. I mean, there was something wrong, and it continues to be wrong, and it's over and above some of the short-term decisions made by politicians. Right now, the big thing is, is there another stimulus package? Is everybody going to get $2,000? And, I thought one thing, Chris, that came out of the election is interesting, because some are saying, well, the Republicans messed up because they didn't promise enough in Georgia, and therefore they lost the election. They didn't come out and have that last vote. $500 wasn't enough. They had to have $2,000, and Trump wanted to do it, but McConnell wouldn't do it. And a lot of people, it doesn't take a whole lot of people in a close election, enough people said, hey, I want the $2,000, and it looks like the Republicans won't give it to us. So, in a way, it's ironic that that could have happened. At the same time, the Republicans aren't that conservative anyway. They haven't resisted until this last minute. So it is, some people would think that's rather strange at the last minute. They didn't do what they've been doing all along, because they don't do it based on principle. We don't have that trouble struggling with what to do, because, the freedom philosophy and the Constitution are pretty explicit. You're not supposed to be so arbitrary. Oh, yeah, we're for the gold standard once in a while, and we want a pseudo gold standard, and they go on and on. We need a strong national defense, but we also have an empire to defend. It goes on and on, and they don't have a precise principle. But anyway, the economy still has a lot of problems, and I think I would expect that, even in the next 2 years, we talk about the next 4 years, but the next 2 years, what really will happen? Because that's where Congress could change. And I think that is going to be very, very important. And immediately, what I would expect, Chris, is that another stimulus package will come, because the market is starting to turn down. That unemployment figure today, the jobs lost, 140,000. First time since April, the job losses went up instead of, the unemployment, the more people were off work, 140,000 lost their job. First time since April that happened. So that's a big deal. So the stimulus is coming, and still they're getting away with it. There is inflation. Stock markets are inflated. A lot of other prices are inflated. But people aren't panicked about inflation. They're even talking at the Fed, and they're just our greatest heroes on sound money. And they say that, even though the goal has been for years to have 2% destruction of the money, 2% of inflation on prices, they say, well, 3 might be okay too. So they know that it's coming. The people know, people who do shopping, they know it's already here. And that is going to continue. And that's the big question, is how long will it be that they can keep covering over all these mistakes and unemployment and keep sending out more checks to big companies and some welfare checks, at the same time having policies that are extreme and having a lockdown and putting people out of work. The whole thing is a little bit nutty as far as I'm concerned. And I think whether you have Republicans or Democrats in charge, we're marching on, because turning this around is sort of like turning that aircraft carrier around. It's not very easy, and I don't think there's a serious attempt to do so. So there's a lot of questions to be raised. People aren't, that is not what they're on pins and needles about. They're on pins and needles today. I wonder if the president is going to get impeached. He has a week to go or so. And they say, we have to impeach the president, and that's going to solve their problems. And that's a different story entirely, and we have visited on that before. But I think eventually the people are going to be tuned in strictly to the economy and inflation and rising interest rates and the realization that there's not been an iota of true recovery from the distortions of the Federal Reserve of the last 10, 15 years and even longer than that. And that's what's going to become noticeable, and that will be the subject for this coming year.
That's right, Dr. Paul. And Democrats controlling government is a negative. There is no sugarcoating it. But like you mentioned, Republicans are terrible, too. They're very bad, especially on the economy. But, it's like good cop, bad cop. The Republicans play the good cop. They're terrible, but they deny it. They play small government, limited government rhetoric. The Democrats are open about it. They're going to spend and debt and tax you to death. And there's no holding back. So, yes, like we mentioned, $2,000 checks from a government that's $27 trillion in debt. We could be sure that failure will be rewarded. The governments, the cities and states that lock down will be rewarded for their failures. That's how government works. Taxes, obviously, will be raised. That's what Democrats are all about. And spending will continue beyond what government takes in. So the Fed will have to counterfeit more. So it's all negative. It's now just the brakes are off for the Democrats, and we'll see how quickly they can extend this downward spiral.
Right. And, the question that frequently comes up, in campaigns and all, is the constituents or the special ones, what are you going to do for the economy? And, that is a preposterous question, especially when we're looking at this philosophically and why both parties endorse the major part of those. It's just a matter of who's the most aggressive in their intervention and their spending. So it's not so much what are they going to do for the economy. I ask the question myself, what are they going to do to the economy? And what I'm thinking there is, what are they going to do to us? And then they use a lot of other things as excuses, like the lockdown. They don't talk hardly at all at the national level, essentially not at all, about, well, what happens if you wouldn't lock down? Well, why don't they go to Florida, and find out? And maybe conditions wouldn't be so bad. I mean, it's a serious problem going on, but the lockdown, of course, compounds it. And where the blame is going right now. But even that is government created. The virus isn't the main problem. It's the reaction is the big problem to it. And that has contributed to our problem. But basically, the foundation was undermined by the Federal Reserve System even before that started, because they were, you know, in 2016, Chris, they were essentially saying, when are we going to get back to normal? When are we going to restore a balance sheet? When are we going to have to, you know, quit expanding the balance sheet? We have to shrink the balance sheet, because that's what traditionally they would do. So they started to do that in 16, and by 19, they'd barely moved the balance sheet, but it was enough to panic the markets, and there were interest rates rising, and people were really panicking what happened. And guess what they did in the emergency? Did they speed up the return to the market economy and sound money? No, they turned on the spigots just to pour it out of there. The printing presses were running night and day in order to cover this up. So they knew about that, so they quit, and they've been expanding it, and they're going to continue to expand it, which means eventually, though, when this comes to a conclusion, it will be the loss of the confidence in the dollar, and it's lost some confidence already, but we're still powerful. We have the military. We have a lot of wealth, and a lot of countries depend on us, and now it's still building, because it's been pointed out that there's a deficit, a worldwide deficit, debt of $13 trillion. And it's, half of it's coming due this year, the year that we're in now. And it has to be refinanced. And the market would say it has to have higher interest rate. But that can't be tolerated. Well, interest rates are pretty low, some zero and some one. Real interest rates are fantastically low. And they're not going to raise the interest rate. They're going to do everything to prevent it. If they try to do that and lighten up on the balance sheet, you know, it's going to bring back the recognizable calamity. But this is interesting, because of the $13 trillion that is coming due, half of it coming due of all that, and that's still a ton of money. Guess what? $7.7 trillion of it comes from the United States. So when we're so anxious, you know, to blame other people and all, yes, we're living high on the hog, and we still spend endlessly, Republicans and Democrats, on the military, and they never stop. And in second place are the Japanese. They have $2.9 trillion. But guess what? The Chinese have $577 billion. They're the smallest ones. And then you know, there's a lot of China bashing going on, and they deserve some of it, and they deserve watching, and I know all that kind of stuff. But still, they were running their economy and their finances a little bit better than ours, because they're not burdened with all this debt. But still, the world still needs the dollars. The dollar is still the significant reserve currency of the world, and it will be used. But eventually, that is going to shift. And that is when prices are going to really soar. Everybody will recognize it. That is when, if you have a crisis and there's people who are really out of work and need help, that's when asking for $2,000 or $4,000 or $6,000 a month for everybody, it'll just make the conditions worse. That's when you're ushering in the age of Venezuela and Zimbabwe, and just doing the same thing over and over again eventually provides no help whatsoever. So, Chris, that's what I'm concerned about long term. So I'm not expecting the Democrats to help us. If anything, they're going to accelerate in that direction.
That's right, Dr. Paul. As bad as Republicans and Democrats are, their enabler is the Federal Reserve. They enable them to be as bad as they are. And the Fed is and will continue to be in a bigger and bigger bind, because we saw already from, I think it was last year or the year before, they can't raise rates. You know, and once official inflation numbers start to rise, and it's already higher than the official rates, but once they go to 3% and 5% and 10%, the Fed's going to be stuck, because they raised a measly 2% and everything fell apart. So this is what happens with central planners. That's why central planners, it never works. They always corner themselves to where every single move they make is wrong and the whole thing falls apart.
That is absolutely what happens, and it's going to continue. And of course, what our goal is to try to get people to understand why it's happening, and it's not that immediate thing. Everything can be explained because of lockdown. Well, that's a significant factor, but there's a lot of other things going on, and that is the type of monetary system we have and allows people at the Federal Reserve and elsewhere just to spend, and then print. One thing I want to talk about where the Republicans and Democrats generally are very much in agreement, and I think the Democrats are actually going to be worse than the Republicans, which is a bit of irony on this, and that is on the issue of war. You know, it's always been said that the warmonger, the George Bushes of the world, they're the ones who got us into the war, and the Cheneys and the Middle East have been aflame for so long. Millions of people died when you add up all the people on both sides of the war. And yet, if anything, I think that some of the hatred and the reservation and disgust with Trump is related to the foreign policy because he actually, you know, tried to bring troops home. And what he did, the Democrats and Republicans were screaming, oh, don't bring the troops home, don't bring the troops home. And there's been a lot of turmoil in the administration, including sometimes people getting killed over this, is if you take a stand for peace and you want to bring the troops home, people can't stand this. I know this hasn't been talked much about it, but it's an item that is worth thinking about, especially now. Well, what should we expect? Will Biden represent the peaceful part of the Democratic Party? I was well aware of the Democrats becoming the peace party in the 1960s. They're the ones who helped stop eventually the Vietnam War. So in this case, though, the likelihood of the war backing off is slim. What about Obama? We have Obama people coming back in, and they're the ones who said that Assad has to go. They're the ones who took Libya, expanded that, had a tragedy there, and then the people gravitated up to Syria, still going on. Assad has to go. And that's the progressive Democrats who are supposed to be more for peace. And yet here we have a president that almost in spite of himself, you know, on all the problems that we have on foreign policy, if you just looked at it statistically, you'd have to say, you know, that things didn't get worse, but I think the foreign policy is actually going to get worse. And it also is a major contributor to the financial burden that we have in the bankruptcy. Although the troops were restrained under Trump, the money spending was not restrained. The money spending in the 401A and all this, that continued because nobody wants to give up their special little program that they have. So that continues. But I'm afraid that the foreign policy is going to deteriorate, and we're going to be more likely in a hot war in the next 4 years than we were in the last 4 years.
I'm afraid you're right, Dr. Paul. And if you look at the major wars for the 1900s and, they're leftist wars, leftist leaders, it's because of the mentality. When you want to remake other people, whether they be in this country or another country, that's a warlike mentality. So it's a shame, and you may be right about that. But I'll finish up by saying, during the last year, I always wonder why would Trump want to be president again because of how bad the financial situation is. And if you think about all the corrections, whether it be stock market or housing or last year's correction, they're progressively worse. The corrections keep getting worse and worse. So while no one can pinpoint the precise time that the next correction will be, it's to say it will be in the next 4 years is not a crazy, crazy thought. So someone will be holding the bag. And if it happens in the next 4 years, it will be the Democrats. The government, the president, they're going to be the ones holding the bag, and there will be no confusion as to who is in power when things get messed up. So that can be a possible silver lining. It's still a bad thing to have to live through. But, as you have said, Americans have for a very long time lived way above their means, and the time is coming that we're going to have to get back to economic reality.
Oh, very good. I want to finish up with making a mention about the Federal Reserve policy that we have today and that we've had for a long time, and whether it's going to change much. Basically not, but I would say that the tone on handling the Federal Reserve changed under Trump. And he did spend a lot of money. The deficit skyrocketed, and most would say, well, that was beyond his control because, the coronaviruses and things like that. But I think the Fed is not, the basic thrust of the Fed is not going to change, because there's so few people that I met in Washington, especially in the Treasury Department or in the Federal Reserve, who actually had an interest in what the founders thought about inflation and money. They didn't believe in central banks. They were really conditioned by the runaway inflation of the continental dollar, and they were trying very hard to restrain the printing of money in order to restrain the growth of government. But there's nobody there that's defending that. So this has to come from outside of Washington. But the other thing is we're not likely to see all of a sudden we're going to get enough people elected to change the rules and tell the Fed they have to do something. But it is going to change because they're not more powerful than the marketplace itself. Interest rates, although they have rigged the interest rates and gotten them down, but that helps just the very wealthy and the bankers. But there's a lot of people, if they have credit cards and are running up debt, interest rates are very, very high. And eventually the prices going up will not be controlled even with the most stringent price and controls of wages and all, will not hold it in check. The market is too powerful. The value of a currency is going to be determined by the marketplace. And neither the Republicans or the Democrats are offering an alternative to what we have. They've learned to live with it. And basically, a lot of people have benefited by it, you know, and they still are, you know. Oh, well, you know, I did okay. I'm getting my unemployment. They got to the point where they were receiving more money than they did if they went back to work. And that is wonderful. How could anybody be opposed to that? Well, those of us that do oppose it figure that it's not legitimate, it's not good economic policy, and eventually you're going to pay the bills, and the penalty is going to be much worse than if you just pay as you go along rather than thinking that you can get away with this. So I would say that the policy at the Fed will continue, the badgering will continue, but it's usually never been quite as open as President Trump did. I mean, everybody knew where he stood, which was an appeal, you know, to the populace. They said, boy, he's fighting for us, send the money to us. But it temporarily helps people, but ultimately it's just a economic distortion. The bubbles are formed, the malinvestment is formed, the deficit is exploding, and that's this whole thing is our debt right now, the biggest in probably in the history of the world ever, and everything is dependent on how long can we keep the printing presses running and the people accept that money. And I say there is a limit, but don't ask me the day it's going to quit. But people are getting a little bit nervous about us taking advantage of others by us paying all our bills with currencies that's bound to depreciate. Anyway, there's a lot to look at coming up this year. I don't expect the new administration to do much for the economy. I'm afraid they're going to do a lot to the economy, and it won't be a positive thing. So we'll continue, of course, to talk about, you know, the wild spending and the deficits and civil liberties and what's going on with coronavirus and all these things. But ultimately, it is a philosophic issue, and the basic question that has to be asked that means the most is, what should the role of government be in a free society? And we had strong hints on what the founders thought about it, and the government was supposed to be very limited. And we were never supposed to get off on a tangent that we could regulate people and be able, in a bureaucracy, to tell people how to live and what's best for them and make all their decisions. Now, once we want to embark on making everyone safe and secure, You cannot do it without the destruction of freedom and the destruction of the economy. And that's where we are today. The economy is potentially going to get a lot worse, and our freedoms will be challenged. So we have a real effort needed right now to get a whole generation of people waking up and say, well, this isn't working. Give me more money from the government? No, you have to give up on that. Give me more freedom. Get the government out of the way and let me keep what I earn. Once that is accepted of what a free society is all about, all of a sudden the federal government shrinks like this and wealth grows and we become wealthy again. We used to have the richest middle class ever, and we still have a very wealthy middle class, but we're not the wealthiest. And at the rate we're going, people are going to continue to get poorer. And that's why people are getting upset. But that shouldn't be used to demand more of the same thing that caused all these problems. We have to demand our freedoms. We have to demand to get the government out of our way and allow us to take care of ourselves. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.